Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks to Toby for the update. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on the Fan 8. Darris and Ryan Production. Remember to kick off your future with the law firm of Condori and Murad, the official G&D show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will and trust, schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com. Mention the show, get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. The Washington Commanders preparing for pick number 2 in the NFL draft. A lot of conversation about what happens after that number 2 pick for the Commanders. I want to get into the draft with you. I want to talk about 36 and 40 and if a possible trade up for a tackle makes sense. But first things first here, the lesson that Commanders fans should take out of what the Texans did today and what they've done all offseason. If you are just joining us and you don't know, they traded for Stephon Diggs from the Buffalo Bills for a second-round pick next year. They also got a couple of late-round picks back in the deal. They went out and added Joe Mixon to start over Damian Pierce. They signed Danielle Hunter and Danico Autry on their defensive line. They have a new starter at linebacker and a new cornerback. They have been ultra-aggressive all offseason. If you hit on the quarterback at number 2, that's where C.J. Stroud was taken by Houston last year. And if you know you got yourself a star, easier said than done. Stroud had a historical rookie season. Very rare that you get a first year like that. But Washington had one. Robert Griffin, a number 2 pick, did it. We've seen Dak Prescott with the Dallas Cowboys, a 4th-round pick, do this. If you get that first season where you know a guy's really good and you feel like you're set at quarterback on the cheap, I think what they should do next offseason is what the Texans have done this offseason. That the goal should be, if you hit on the QB, don't waste any time. Get really aggressive, push the chips in, and use that next 3 years, maybe 4 after you pick up the option before a payday, as your window to try to get business tended to.
100%. And it's chicken or the egg, but you're also going, in order to make sure the rookie quarterback is successful, you drafted Juice Scruggs in the 2nd round, a guy that I wanted to play center. You went and got Laremy Tunsil in advance, a great left tackle, all-pro caliber guy. You've added weaponry 6 ways from Sunday. So correct. This is what you do to give the guy a chance to be any good. It turns out C.J. Stroud is transcendent, which is awesome, phenomenal, perfect, great. Now you give him that much more opportunity to excel to the next level, right, as he keeps ascending. Something Washington, frankly, has never done. It's always been just devoid to them or completely foreign to them to do everything you possibly can to build the nest. Ron Rivera tried to do it for 3-plus years, failed miserably because he was terrible at it before he actually ever committed to drafting a young quarterback. He never did, ran out of time. And maybe if he had 15 years, he might have drafted a young player. But this is what you're supposed to do. Absolutely. And here's the window where you can add. Eventually, you're going to have to start cutting. This is not that time. You've got a few more years of excellent play, presumably from Stroud, before you have to pay him what'll be probably 60-plus million bucks a year when it's his time.
Yeah, and the sooner you do the extension, too, the better. Right. So after year 3, mm-hmm. you want to get to the table and do it. You can, because here's what you can do is you can push some of those giant paydays down the road. So the leap from rookie contract money where you make very little to you make really good $30, $35, $40 million a year money. On this salary cap, though, the way that it's grown, that's not the end of the world. That's not that big of a deal. When you look at, like, Josh Allen this year, I'm pretty sure I looked this up today, unless I missaw something. His cap number this year is only $30 million. Now, he got one of these massive couple hundred million dollar contracts, but it takes till the last few years of the deal when the money's huge, Danny, for that to really become a problem. And so it's not just the window until the end of your rookie deal. If you get the extension done quickly, you can extrapolate out a couple more years before the money is huge. Now, what happens is on the end of that contract, those cap numbers are unwieldy, and it's $65 million, $60 million tags or something like that, cap numbers. When you get there, you rework the contract. The player likely is willing. You get that done, or you add void years. You just have to keep getting creative. But it's not just like a 3 or 4 year build. You could actually do it 5 or 6 years maybe before a QB is making the top of the league debilitating money. Teams will have to start making tough decisions around them a year out. That's what the Bills did with Stephon Diggs to free up potentially $27 million in the cap that they were going to pay him. It's $31 million in debt, but they'll have more money moving forward next year because of the decision they made. But I just think if you're a Commanders fan, look at the Texans. That's the dream. That's what could possibly happen here. You got to hit a home run at number two, and it's way easier to talk about than to do it. We don't know if anyone in this class is as good as C.J. Stroud. In fact, statistically speaking, I would say it's very unlikely that anybody is.
Because that just set records. We've been superseded a couple times. I mean, our eye line has changed. After Justin Herbert, due to a fluke accident, finally got in there and started, he was so incredible. And Stroud was even better as a rookie. That's never happened before. So counting on that, I think, is a bit naive. But somewhere approaching that vector is not the craziest thing in the world if you've got a nice little bet in place.
And maybe that's kind of more realistically what I'm talking about. Stroud's 4,100, 23 touchdown, 5 pick rookie season. He missed 2 games, by the way. So you're talking about more like, I don't know, 4,700 yards and 27 touchdowns and 6 or 7 interceptions, perhaps, as the AP rookie of the year and first time Pro Bowler. You're probably not doing that. But let's just say you hit on a number two pick and it's a Herbert-ish type early production where it's a guy that gives you a chance every single week. You're there. It's over. You know, you found the thing you were looking for, and now we're just rearranging chairs. Doesn't mean you get to go win a Super Bowl, see the Chargers.
Bills.
They've gotten nothing out of the Herbert experience. At least the Bills have been Mahomes'd. Right, they're knocking on the door, AFC championships,
burrowed,
exchanging blows in a title game where the Chiefs have the ball last or it goes to overtime or whatever it is. But I think if you see what the Texans in the last 365 days have done, that should be the blueprint and the dream for a Commanders fan. Get your quarterback at number two.
Yep.
Have him have the big year with some of the young talent around him. And then go make moves this offseason. And to Adam Peters and Lance Newmark's credit, they have not really committed to anything that has been several years that locked them in, right? Everything they've done essentially has been about contract comes up at the end of the year. By next season or the year after, you're able to spend and do whatever you want and get out of all these deals.
Yeah, all the older players they got are on short-term deals.
They're giving them flexibility. You know, they're giving themselves the chance that if Daniels or May is Stroud, that next offseason they can go crazy if they want to. They can trade for Stephon Diggs, whoever that is, next offseason, the 29-year-old wide receiver one. It's right here in front of us, man. We're seeing it in real time.
And this is the way to execute it, right? I mean, you heard Sam Cosmi, Daron Payne both had comments today basically reflecting on how this entire roster has turned over. There's dozens of new people, and it's like it's almost like being part of a different organization. It's like getting to a new team somehow. And that's both a positive, uplifting view of it, but it's also a reminder of how far they still probably have to go, right? And how bad it really was over the last couple of seasons with – guys that frankly shouldn't have been putting rosters together, but they did. So here we are. A lot of the guys that are going to be part of the solution for the short term are not part of the long-term plan. And everybody's got eyes wide open on that, it seems like, because you don't sign a one-year deal thinking, this is my new home. You think I'm staying at a hotel or I'm renting for the months I'm in town and we'll figure out the next stop next, because we're going to benefit too from that, right? I'll help establish the culture. I'll help raise the level of play, help mentor some of these kids that'll be part of the job description, work with Dan Quinn and company, get my career back on track, get myself a bigger free agent deal. Maybe it's here, maybe it's somewhere else. But this is not a, we got money, we got time, let's go, totally crazy, trade away draft picks, go sign the Keenan Allens, trade for Stephon Diggs, or high-priced guys. I wish there was a couple more in there that might have been more impactful, but you can clearly see the layers of the plan. And to me, it all reeks of, and it's all pointing towards that number two pick, giving the kid a chance to thrive. Not overcome, to thrive.
Did you see what Dan Quinn did in the first meeting with the veteran players that are returning?
I did indeed.
So
everybody got to stand up.
Yeah, they started the team meeting, first meeting with the Commanders at their OTAs this week. And he told everybody who was a returning player, which is not that many of them at this point, to stand up, and he moved them. He said, I want you to go find a new seat next to people you don't know. And there are plenty of them to choose from, by the way. And he basically said, get to know them. Very like Remember the Titans, Herman Boone, just like old school football guy move. But the kind of stuff that we think in the NFL, you should be, oh, well, who cares? That's a high school football thing. Players are still just people, man.
They're
still young guys, yeah. Most of them, and they're just human beings.
Dozens of independent contractors asked to come together for a common goal that doesn't necessarily align with their individual goals. This is the most unique business in the world when it comes to pro sports, right? Especially football, where there's so much roster turnover necessarily because of the salary cap and the way these contracts and you know, years and how long some of these players are able to play. So every year, you're going to have dozens of new football players that you have to kind of fold into your culture and everything else. These sorts of things, while gimmicky, we're on the clock. This is 9 months, basically, of a football calendar. Half of that is consumed with games. The other half is whatever this is. So yeah, we're going to have to go bowling. We're going to have to do, smack the pinata or rookie sing-along or all that kind of stuff. It's part of it, man.
I got bad news for Team Darius and Team Me. The numbers have been released by the Commanders on their new players. Officially now, the numbers that everybody's going to wear. Marcus Mariota's going to rock zero. Where are you at on a zero jersey number, Danny?
That's not great. That's not great. It's not bad, and no one should worry about it, but that's not great. There should be a number. Like, zero is actually the absence of numbers. It's our representation of a void. See what I'm saying? Like, one, two. Think of other examples like five. Those are numbers. Zero is I don't love that on a player.
I hope that signifies and symbolizes the play time that Marcus Mariota is expecting.
Oh, thank you. Is there a clipboard number?
He's going to wear a C, not for a captain, but for clipboard.
Put
right
a visor
on.
Is there a visor?
Number three, Brandon McManus. Fine with that for a kicker.
Okay.
Here's a tough one. Darius, cover your ears, please. Frankie Louvu. Going to play some linebacker, come off the edge, move all over the defense. That's number four.
No, God!
That's a linebacker wearing number four.
Do we have a it's actually fine sounder? I guess we don't have one of those, do we?
Here's another tough one.
All right.
Dante Fowler, he is a defensive end. This is an edge rusher, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be wearing number six.
Yep.
No, God!
A safety.
Yep.
Wearing number 11, Jeremy Chinn.
Oh, no.
Out on that, let's give you a 30s number or 20s number. I'll even let you be in the 40s, Jeremy Chinn. Olamide Zaccheaus, the new wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You're ordering your jerseys. Number 14 for Olamide Zaccheaus.
It's a great number. That's the best number you can get.
I'm okay with wide receivers in the teens.
Because it's like a flanker.
I don't love it, but I'm okay with it. Single digits is really my main gripe because that changes the aesthetic. When you have double digits, whether it's 14 or 84 or whatever, you're taking up the same amount of space on the jersey for the most part. It's really single digit versus double digit. Bobby Wagner's rocking 54, as you'd expect. Looks like Dorrance Armstrong's going to wear 92. Cleland Farrell's going to wear 99.
You're good with those. You like those.
Those are traditional.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing it the way Uncle Scott did it. You know, we're just keeping it the way it's always been. I can dig that. What do you make of the possibility of trading up to get a tackle after the Commanders pick number two overall? So I was reading a couple of different mocks last night that suggest Washington goes up the board with 36 and 40.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to pose this question and actually check in with our listeners on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. If I was to say to you hypothetically, Danny, that the Commanders were to trade either 36 and 40 and go way up into the maybe like fringe top 10 through 12, something like that, and get an excellent offensive tackle, you'd be in or out on that?
The most in. Spin kicks.
Even though 36 and 40, you're giving up two potential starters to go get your left tackle.
Absolutely. To me, the whole point of having an advantage, you acquired this. You had to go through pain to get it, right? You now have a commodity that other people want. It's in demand. Use that to the best of your ability. AKA, if nothing entices you, stay at 36 and 40, take a couple valuable players. If an opportunity arises, you can have a trump card over someone else who can't make that move up, right? You can now use that however you want. You've got salary cap space. You want to use it in a certain way. You can outbid somebody for a player services. You can do that, or you can choose to do it in different ways. Everyone's fighting for the same finite amount of resources, draft picks, salary cap dollars, et cetera. Everyone has the same amount of ammunition to try to make their team great. So part of acquiring those things is to be able to upgrade your team. And if you figure out, we think we're better with, say, I don't know, Fashanu from Penn State slips into the teens. We go up to 15, trade with the Colts to nail him, to grab it. Great. If not, then you're in a good place as well. So, yeah, I'm all in favor of that.
How about this idea? I like the idea of pairing 36 and 67. So just looking at one of the value charts for the draft, that's 540 points for 36 and another 255 for 67. So we're looking at 565 points, which is even with, I guess that would only get you up to like 33, 34.
Like late first round, maybe.
I was thinking about going up to like 28, 29, somewhere there, to get a tackle and giving up lesser than 36 and 40. Like maybe giving up 36, 67, and 152 or something, and going up six or seven spots into the late 20s. To get a tackle. That way I still have my number two pick quarterback. I still get to pick again at 40 and get the wide receiver I want. But now I can get a tackle. It's not going to be Olu Fashanu.
No.
It's not going to be one of the best tackles in the country. But I get a guy that I think can start for me right away at pick, let's say, like 29 or something like that. Obviously, you're interested in that. Do you like that more or less than a 36 and 40 to go all the way up to just outside of the top 10?
I'd probably like that one more, to be honest with you.
You would?
Yeah. The give up less to still get the thing that you need slash
get
one.
The lesser tackle.
Yeah.
Because when you say, I mean, it's true that Fashanu's fallen in a lot of these mocks. You're starting to see him going in that range.
Well, someone has to fall when other people rise, right? So quarterbacks move up, and now you see some more attention to the receivers going up. Maybe a couple of the edge rushers have sprung up a couple of different boards. So someone has to fall, whether it's their fault or not. It's just, you know, circumstances or need, depending on the team that may or may not pick. So he might slip past that group of three in Vegas, Denver, and what am I blanking on the third team? Minnesota, that desperately needs a quarterback, right? Because that's what they're in the market for. So all of a sudden, maybe, you know, you get past Atlanta now, and now you're out of the top 10. Now you're in the teens.
There's two positions this offseason that the Commanders just neglected to address more than anything else. And I would say that's left tackle. And then if you're like-minded with me, not everybody is, it's finding a weapon at wide receiver to help out. Both of these things are pertinent for the young quarterback, in my opinion. But left tackle's the biggest issue and far and away the biggest priority. And it's going to feel like if they just wait and take a left tackle at 36 or 40, that's a big roll of the dice to then have, you know, a second round left tackle that you're starting in week one that dozen teams passed on with tackle needs.
And there's a lot of tackles going, by the way. There'll be a lot of guys.
Of course.
There'll be six or seven probably.
How confident are you in Washington's chances of getting a tackle at 36 or 40 that can start? Maybe that's the first thing you got to figure out internally. But the question for you guys is level of interest in packaging 36 and 40 to get back into the first round to take a tackle? Or would you try to trade less and pick one later, trade up maybe just a few picks to get one and still have maybe that 40th overall pick? 800-636-1067, G&D on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Fan. The Commanders are going to take a quarterback with their first pick, likely at number two. You know that already. We spent a lot of time talking about that on this show, and we'll get the thoughts of a former NFL scout who's got strong opinions on the QBs coming up at 5 o'clock today on Grant and Danny. But right now we're talking about getting a tackle. If they don't make any trades, then you take a quarterback at 2, and then 34 picks later you're back on the clock, 4 picks into the second round at 36, and you probably have to take a left tackle right then and there. Because at that point, you don't have a starting left tackle on the team. You have a rookie quarterback. That's malpractice. Mm. That is Marty Party Rivera territory if you don't have a plan. I'll bet you they do have a plan. And what I think, Danny, is they are planning on moving up into round one to get a tackle. So the question we're asking people is, would you be okay packaging 36 and 40 to go way up the board to take a tackle in the first half of the first round? 800-636-1067. Or is it possible maybe that you go picks 36, 67, and 100, let's say, and you move up to like 24 or 25, and you take one there, and then you still have pick 40, you still have pick 78 as an example. You and I both like the idea, not surprisingly, of giving up less and getting a slightly lesser tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, if you can guarantee me, like, let's say the draft's playing out, and at 14, who has the 14th pick? You pull that up?
Yep, I got it right in front of me. That is the Saints, as of now.
The Saints call you because you had conversations with them before the draft. Mm-hmm. And they go, listen, Olu Fashanu is there. We know you guys like him. You told us you thought about coming up, whatever. We will take 36 and 40 right now for 14. I think I would do that.
I think
for
I'm doing
him.
It.
I mean, for him, he's that good to me. That is
That's a top 10 pick.
10, 12-year left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about. Yeah, that's like the 7th or 8th best player in the country, maybe.
Yep.
You're getting him because a weird thing happened and he fell to 14. So even though my proclivity would be to not give up 36 and 40, in a perfect world where your guy falls, I'm willing to do it.
So, for example, I think this is Field Yates. Yeah, Field Yates, ESPN Insider, has 8 tackles going in the first round. To give you an idea of how deep and rich this tackle market is. Now, the guys at the top, Alt, Fashanu, are not the same as the Tyler Guyton's of the world, the guys that are going to be that late first round.
Some of
maybe
them probably
second.
Get kicked to guard or whatever.
Totally.
He's got 8 going in the top 32.
8.
Well, if that happens, you have to move up.
And that's my point. And that's what it is. Because I think some of these guys probably have second round grades, but when you start scrambling, everybody needs it. The free agent market for linemen is not what it used to be. You used to always be able to grab somebody, right? You could find a in his prime free agent guard because people didn't want to pay Brandon Scherff or something like that. Now you just can't. Guys are there and they're locked up if they're good.
So where does the tackle run happen maybe dictates what you have to do.
Huge part of it. So let's say, you know, again, this is all.
So Joe Alt, the tackle from Notre Dame, is going to go in the top 10.
He's long gone.
J.C. Latham has become seemingly the guy expected to go second off the tackle board,
mm-hmm.
ahead of Fashanu, which surprises me. But the Alabama tackle will say, I think in that mock, he went 11th, which means that Fashanu did fall to 14, by the way.
Yeah, and then
because they've got Fuaga
from Arizona State, Oregon State. Excuse me.
So they have him going 13, Fashanu going 14. So you could go 36 and 40, go up to 13 or 14 right there if you get a dance partner and take one of those guys. Then there's that big gap because those four tackles are different than the
first
other
half of the first round. Yep.
Now you've got Amarius Mims from Georgia, Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, Kingsley Suamataya from BYU. I'm sure I'm botching that. And Jordan Morgan from Arizona, who presumably are all the guys that would go in the first round in his mock. Those are the top eight tackles. It goes four a group, then another four kind of as a group, and then way down the board would be tier three. And if you don't pick until 36 or 40, that's where you're going. And that's, by the way, interestingly enough, the guy they linked to Washington there is Patrick Paul, who's Chris Paul's brother from the University of Houston. And not a bad player, but is he a plug-and-play left tackle starter right away? I'm not sure.
Yeah. And again, that's kind of the point. I think a lot of these guys at that back end of the tackle market or the tackle this draft class would not be first rounders were not for position scarcity. Because I think he's got two tackles going in the second round instead of round number one, right? Eight in the first, two in the second, including Chris Paul's bro, who you just mentioned. He's got mocked to Washington after a bit of a trade and some moving around the board there at 44. I think there's one other in the class that he has pegged going there. So I think a lot of those guys might have second round grades. But because how important the position is, if you think that guy can start and play for you, you just do it right there in the first round to get that extra year of development.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. You want to join us? Matt, what do you make of trading up for a tackle?
Grant, hey, you mentioned wide receivers. The Texans, they have a lot of them now. Nico Collins, Tank Dell. Now you got Stephon Diggs. Found a trade for Noah Brown. Noah Brown, who, whenever he had opportunities, always had about 10 catches and 170 yards and a couple touchdowns. Tackle-wise, you know I love Fashanu. But, hey, throw in another pick for next year and go up and get Joe Alt. He's just a game wrecker. Let's get the new quarterback his protection for both their careers.
What would that cost? I mean, because he's probably – I mean, he probably didn't get past 7 or 8. Alt.
Yeah, Joe Alt.
Right.
Well, I would say unless the Chargers trade back a second time, like he's not getting past them probably. And right now they're
at five,
back end of the top five. But yeah, 5 through 7 is probably as bad as it gets, and that's if the quarterbacks all go early. Because I'm allowing for there 4 QBs and Marvin Harrison Jr. ahead of him. I don't think anybody else gets drafted before he does. You're talking about 6, 7 maybe right. As a floor. To get up there, you'd have to give up, and I could look up a draft chart here, but top of my head, I would say 36, 40, and then like a future two
next
year.
Like next year's one, maybe?
Or yeah. 36, well, that's a good point, actually. 36, 40, next year's one. 36, 40, 67, 78, you know, like four picks. Like I'm not doing all that to go get Joe Alt, especially if I could 7, 8 picks later get Fashanu, who might not be quite on the same level, but is still a locked in week one starter and waiting from Penn State.
And I really do think there's going to be a ton of, maybe it's much ado about nothing and this is all pre-draft hype, but I think there's going to be a ton of movement into the top 10 from, again, that I keep calling them the crew of three, the Broncos, Vikings, so I'm almost willing to bet anything move into the top 5, 6, 7, whatever to get a quarterback. And then the Saints, maybe the Raiders. So to me, there'll be opportunity for teams that want to recoup. Right? Like if you give something up in a massive way, you can go, hey, we can make you whole again. We can give you an extra second rounder for something. And some maneuvers around the board are possible in that regard, right? Because some of these trades are going to happen, I think, hot and heavy. Teams are going to climb over themselves to get into the top 5 or 6.
I actually like the idea of trading for Noah Brown. I am a believer in trading for a wide receiver weapon. It seems like that market is percolating. That's something we'll get to later in the show. Brown is just an idea, right? That's what he threw out there. But he's 28 years old, played at Ohio State. Matter of fact, I'm quite sure he and McLaurin have a relationship. But 6 for 153, 7 for 152 in weeks 8 and 9. That was pretty much his entire season. Mm-hmm. It was like those two games where he got an elevated role, he was awesome. Played for the Cowboys in the division at one point with some success as well.
17 yards per reception last year. Number jumps out at you.
Absolutely.
Doesn't it?
He's a guy that was drafted in the 7th round in 2017. He's made good on just not having been much of a prospect. I do want to get into whether it's T. Higgins or Brandon Ayuk. I mean, if you are Adam Peters and you see this wide receiver trade market over the last few years where number ones are on the move and guys constantly get traded, is that something you should consider? Then you don't have to worry as much about hitting on a draft pick at 36 or 40 at wideout, which is a crapshoot, if you know you're bringing in Ayuk, who you were just with in San Francisco, and you're willing to pay that guy.
And you know it's not just a Kyle Shanahan product, but that guy's legit in any system.
Right.
If you knew that very well.
You got him and McLaurin locked up for the first few years of this kid's career with Jahan Dotson. And maybe the answer to that is, what do you think of Jahan Dotson? If they love Dotson, maybe you're less inclined to spend big money on somebody else. But if they just view Dotson as a third guy, a slot guy, then you probably are perfectly fine going in and trying to make a trade for a really talented wide receiver who's going to get paid a lot. Shane's in Oxon Hill. Shane, what do you think of trading up into round one for a tackle?
I stand on this just like the same way I stand on the quarterback situation. And this I just want to say to the rest of Commanders fan of Commanders Nation, I don't understand the rush into being good or just mediocre. Making the playoffs is not the goal. Making the Super Bowl is. So if we have to get a guy in the second round that has to, you know, he doesn't reach his potential until a year or two from now, that's okay. We're not going to the Super Bowl, guys. I stand on that with Drake May. I think he'll be the longer pro, and I stand on that with the tackle. You want the guys that are going to be around for the next 5 to 10 years. So it's okay. Slow down, guys. We're not going to the Super Bowl this year.
So I actually love that call. I think it's an awesome call. I think the point you make is incredible, and I agree with every word of it. The only rebuttal I would have is left tackle is not a it's okay if he's not that good next year position, because your number two overall pick, their development's on the line.
It hinges season. On it. That's the key.
And so much of that development directly hinges on the blind side being protected. If the left tackle in the second round is really good in 2 years but is not very good next year and he starts right away, and Drake May, in your mind, or Jaden Daniels gets destroyed from the blind side a couple times, and now they're missing a month, that's a disaster. So I think there's a few spots where it really does matter that you better be set. And left tackle with a number two overall pick at quarterback is one of those spots. I think by and large, your point's true. It's why I didn't mind their offseason. They didn't get stars. They didn't get a whole lot of guys that are going to be here more than just next year or the year after. This is not a team I look at on paper that's going to win 9 or 10 games. And I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in a rush. But I do need them to have a professional answer, a legitimate and credible NFL starting left tackle. Because with a number two overall pick at quarterback coming, you better have that position squared away.
A, prioritize offense, something that they haven't done in several years. They just sort of hoped that Sam Howell and Eric Bieniemy would make the offense good. Wrong, stupid, don't do that ever. Until your offense is great, all the rest of the stuff you're doing is rearranging deck chairs. So I can live with not having a good cornerback situation this year. To give, you know, a couple kids that were drafted last year, a different regime, a chance to either be NFL players or be out of this thing. No rush to me to go out and sign up a superstar that's going to make $18, $25 million a year, whatever. I'm fine with that. You can't have that on offense with a kid quarterback. That, like, keeping him upright, giving him options, giving him yards after the catch, giving him confidence, building that nest on that side of the ball. It'd be nice to have a great defense, too. I'm not telling you I don't want a great defense. That, to me, is secondary compared to the development of this kid that's yet to be taken.
Double play is next. I've got a really scary, terrible way to go out. What do you got, Dave?
An outstanding Netflix show at its highest level.
G&D on the Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
So I don't know, Jeeps. I don't know if you would like this show. I think you would. There's a slow burn to it. So I don't know if you might lose attention, might look at your phone and might, you know, fidget and do something else. But there's only a handful of episodes. Three Body Problem. Do you have any file? Have you seen that on your Netflix queue anywhere?
I have not.
This is one of those where at first you don't have a clue what's going on. And slowly but surely, the curtain is pulled back and more and more and more is happening. Mysteries kind of get unsolved or unfurl in front of you. More problems are kind of created, but you find out more and more as we go. Basic premise, no spoilers here. I'm only a handful of episodes in. Scientists all over the world, the leading scientists, like the top in their field of astrophysics, nuclear physics, running nuclear fusion experiments at the CERN laboratory, person does particle physics, whatever, all these kind of things, are winding up dead. Mysterious circumstances, everything bizarre around them. So it's like too coincidental to not be connected in some kind of way. Rewind back to 1960s China, controlled by Chairman Mao at that point, where it's all party line and the struggle sessions, it's all very restrictive. A decision was made then that we keep getting flashbacks to that is now kind of reverberating here in the present. And there's so much mystery, so much like bizarre behavior. Everybody thinks certain people are going crazy. Some of these, you know, scientists are sort of, you know, showing signs of losing their grasp on reality as it goes. The whole thing's mysterious. You can't figure out what's going on as it goes, but it sucks you in that way. Incredibly well done television. Really, really, really good. Super well acted. If you watch Game of Thrones, which I know you're an avid fan of, you read the books first and then tune into the show, you'll recognize a couple characters from Game of Thrones who are acting this thing. A couple guys who have been
like the actors.
The actors, yeah.
Okay.
You know, from the Marvel series, Wong, who's the Sorcerer Supreme from Doctor Strange and Avengers and stuff. He's in it as like a detective that's just over all of it.
How many episodes?
8.
It's like a miniseries.
Yeah, I'm 3 in so far.
I could do that.
It is really good.
Now, the premise, you won't be surprised, is not for me necessarily. In the we're going back to the 60s and there's a mystery and a couple episodes in, you're wondering what's going on. Not quite what I'm looking for, but it's a whodunit.
Yeah.
I like a whodunit. I'm always looking for a whodunit.
So you can't figure out, like, who's pulling the strings?
What element, how much sci-fi nonsense is there?
So that's a great question. Be my concern. So it's all science. It's not sci-fi. Does that make sense?
But do we think that, I mean, I don't want any spoilers, obviously.
I'm not giving you any.
But, like, as you're watching this early on, does it feel like it's grounded in authenticity where if someone's disappearing that a human is doing it? Or does it feel more like there's some hole that they're falling into? Do you get what I'm asking?
I know exactly what you mean. So one of the premises or one of the thoughts by folks initially is this aliens? Are we alone in the universe? We don't know. Then there's this is more simple than that. Like it's pulling you in all sorts of different directions because everything about it is mysterious. Like nobody can figure out where, and again, I don't want to spoil any part of it, but where certain strings are being pulled. Like, for example, there's footage of a woman talking to somebody, and we saw it. And then when the police detective is looking at the footage, there's nobody there talking to the woman, right? And yet, her cigarette is lit by something. So the person was able to, like, scrub the footage. Like, who has access to it and can do that sort of thing to scrub the footage? Why are they scrubbing the footage? So, what does it all mean?
But it's based on Earth.
It's very Earth, 100%. Okay. And
I will watch the pilot episode.
Yeah, there are the thought is we messed with forces beyond our control, right? A little bit, and now nobody knows what's happening.
How many buffalo wings are you giving it?
So far, this is an 8 out of 10 program.
Wow,
this is 8 out of 10 carbohydrates. I feel full and I feel happy when I watch it.
It is time for my double play. First of all, this is actually very sad. So I will say that I am thinking about the family that lost someone. Because this is a real thing that happened. A U.S. tourist was killed as an elephant attacked a safari vehicle.
Oh.
Got me thinking about safaris and whether or not that's something I would ever be willing to do in the wild. I have been to Disney World twice. I have gone to, is it Animal Planet, I think it's called? The big, like, animal version of Disney World. Animal Kingdom.
There you go.
Animal Planet's a TV show.
True or false, I had a television show on Animal Planet.
True.
That is true.
That'd be a weird thing to say.
That is true. Can you imagine if I made that up? I was like, got you guys, idiots.
I want to double click on that at some point. Animal Kingdom I've been there two times. I've done the safari. It's amazing. I love animals. Love the whole bit. I know that if I was just on a safari in Africa, I would enjoy it thoroughly. The traveling there would be a problem for me, probably. And I don't think I would pay to do it because it's so dangerous. But where are you at on the possibility of getting in what appears to be a golf cart? Because there's a video. You don't see the death or anything, but you see this elephant running after this group of people. Basically, it seems like they're on what is a golf cart, and they're just kind of putting along in their, you know, safari dreamland. And an elephant off in the distance is kind of trotting toward them. And they're like, oh, my gosh, he sees us. Like, oh, he's coming toward us.
He sure does.
Like, they're like, get a great picture, you know. And then he's getting a little closer. And the guy's like, he's speeding up. And then he's like, you got to go. He's running at us. And then you can kind of hear them being like, he's coming. And next thing you know, he just keeps coming. And they eventually they stop the golf cart. Why, I don't know. I guess because they can't outrun him. I'm not sure. But they just stop. And then the elephant comes over and knocks them over. And it's a whole bad scene. You don't see all that on the video, obviously. You just kind of see him tip the thing over, and that's the end of it. But I guess I'm asking Danny Rouye, 1 to 10 level of interest in a safari, if you knew you were going to be safe, and then juxtapose that to level of interest going to Africa safari and taking whatever chances come with it.
Zero on all of it. Drives my wife crazy. Like, because
you wouldn't have any interest in going and just seeing tigers. And if you knew you were going to be safe, nothing?
Because you don't know. If they decide it's your time, it's your time. Like, I'm not doing bits. Like, Jimmy Fox has a great bit about it where he did it, where he's like, we're in this open Jeep, and I'm driving along, and I'm like, the lion's right there. And my guide is like, he will not hurt you. And I look at the lion, the lion's like, don't believe that, dude. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, no to that.
Also, this, for what it's worth, like, I would think you'd always be in a car for the reason that you can haul ass. They're basically in a golf cart.
Right. Because 99.9999% of the time, it's like, because it brings you closer. There's no windows. You could see it. The ostrich can reach in and get your bird feed or whatever.
Do you ever go out to Leesburg? Have you taken your kids?
I've done that,
There's a couple of them in the area, but you could take your kids and basically you buy a little food and you drive through.
Yeah.
And the animals stick their heads in your car.
You know who didn't like it was my kids. Oh, I didn't like that at all.
I got to get my the president's back out there.
It's the birds in the car, that freaked some boys out. Yeah.
I think the coolest thing was like one of these big longhorns. Looks like it could be the mascot for Texas. Kind of poked his whole nose and mouth right in the car at me.
Which ones were those now? The
longhorns?
Yeah, but what did they look like? I forget. Was it an emu? Like, I can't remember all the names of the different birds that peck in there.
I'm not talking about birds. This is an actual bull. Longhorn. Texas longhorn. The big horns.
Like, wait, there was a longhorn at that place?
Yeah, you maybe have, it's a lot of big animals.
Oh, like I just went to one where there were a couple birds that stuck their head in, and they were very comfortable.
There are also birds at this place.
Oh, okay.
But these are huge animals.
Gotcha.
And so you can drive through, and, you know, cows and longhorns and alpaca and you name it. You know, they're coming over, and they're trained all day because people drive through with the food. So they just stick their head right in. They're, like, licking my baby's head and stuff. It's pretty crazy. But I am not going to Africa anytime soon to get in a golf cart and drive around in the wild.
I'm just not into it. It is and my wife couldn't believe it when I said that. She was mad that I said it in front of our kids, that I was like, I have no interest in doing that. And she's like, we should be helping them explore. I was like, there's so many places to explore where there aren't horrifying venomous snakes, where there aren't like animals that just, if they decide, it's my time. Like, I'm not going to Australia and I'm not going to Africa. I'm not doing it.
Beltway Blitz coming your way next, and those DC Defender tickets, we'll give them away on Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.